Its walls whisper tales of restless spirits and unexplained phenomena, but despite the warnings from locals, you check into a hotel one stormy night. The lobby was eerily quiet as you approached the front desk. The receptionist handed you the room key with a grim smile.
Room 18,
she muttered. You make your way up the creaky staircase and down the tilted hallway to your room. As you push the door open, the air inside was heavy, and a chill runs down your spine as you step over the threshold. Ignoring your unease, you settle in for the night. But sleep is elusive. Strange noises echo through the halls, and shadows dance across the walls. When you finally doze off, you're jolted awake by a chilling whisper in your ear. Morning came, and the storm had passed. Through the front door, a man steps up to the receptionist. She gives a smile and hands him the room key. As he pushes the door open, he notices a notebook left on the bed. He picks it up, and something falls from its pages. He bends to pick it up, turning it over in his hands. Another key to room 18. He flips the notebook open to a dog-eared page. Inside it reads, "No one leaves the St. James Hotel."
Hello, huh? Hello, you are listening to Or So They Say, the podcast where two sisters travel small town America, one ghostly tale at a time. I'm Kelsey.
I'm Megan.
We're falling apart. What did you do?
I elbowed this stand next to me.
Oh my God.
I was itching my back.
This is why I'm ready to get into that new space.
Yeah, and I was 2 seconds away from just letting the intrusive thoughts take over, and I almost went when you turned on, like, screamed. I don't know why.
Oh, man. I remember when we used to record early on, and I would say, hello, hello. And, like, because the first hello was always bad.
I don't know why. That's a personal.
What?
You just not liking the first
hello. Well, because I went, hello. 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 I don't know. I don't like my voice, which is unfortunate for someone who chose to do a podcast, but whatever. I don't know.
This is correct.
I just got to get into the talking, but also, did we have a dairy iced coffee right before this? Yeah.
We may have.
Literally can't be stopped, yeah.
All right, so.
And I have no side notes otherwise. We might just get into this one.
I don't either, except I have really cute hair.
Yeah.
I got my hair did.
Wow.
And I already have to undid it, which is annoying.
Yeah.
But I will.
Because the color of your hair and piercings and tattoos determine your level of professionalism, you know.
It does.
Ain't that just the way?
It's a bummer because I did a huge chop. I cut like a foot plus off my head. And then I also got bangs. I did the crazy thing and got bangs, which scares me because I have a very round, plump face.
Oh, no.
And I was always scared it was going to be a bad look. And truthfully, everyone has had nothing but good things to say about it. But the big thing I did besides the chop is that I colored my hair green.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, being a natural brunette with brown hair and going for the green, it's a nice combo because I kept like dark brown roots. Like almost smoky style roots. And then with the green, it looks so good. Yeah. Well, I work at a bank, lest we forget. And I don't work with customers. I'm like an IT person. I'm not going to get into what my job is, but just for lack of better term, I'm an IT person. And yeah, so now I can't have my hair. I had it like
Which is just,
1 week.
It's just kind of silly because you don't even deal with customers face to face. So it's like,
I do not.
Get out of here.
So, I have a little bit of time left with my hair before I have to change it, but I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the hair is going to go away.
Yeah.
They can't. Okay. I can wear a wig. If any work people are listening, why couldn't I wear a wig? Why? Why couldn't anyone else wear a wig? If they, you know, maybe they shave their head for whatever reason or another and they're like, you know what? I want hair today. And then, well, bam, they have hair and you can't tell them no.
No.
So.
That's discrimination.
As long as it's a natural hair color. So anyway, I have green hair that I'm going to enjoy because it was expensive.
Yeah.
I knew the risk I was taking. I'll be honest. I did. But I didn't think anyone was going to be like salty enough to be like, she can't have that.
And in fact, somebody did.
What was I? I mean, banks are just naturally conservative for some reason. I feel like most banks you go into are a conservative type setting. So I knew what I was getting into. Yeah. That was my fault.
My hair's the same. My only complaint is I bought new deodorant recently because every time I find a deodorant that I like and I get attached to, I get to buy it like two or three times and then they just never make it anymore. So that has happened once again. Bought a new deodorant. I've been wearing it for like a week and I smell like trash. Like, it's just not keeping up. Dove for men, like, it's not it. Like, I don't know. I smell by like 2 hours into the day and I'm like, well, this is booty. So what a waste. I've only used it for like a week and I just bought a new one today because I went back to Old Faithful, Old Spice, because I can't. Dove is not keeping up. And listen, I'm not an active person. I'm not even going to act like it. So I don't know why it can't keep up.
We have been active the last couple of weeks, though.
Oh, God.
I guess I've had my hair 2 weeks, now that I think about it. But anyway, yeah, we've been active the last 2 weeks because we are just
making some serious headway.
Going to town on the new studio.
I mean, right now our hands are tied, but.
Yeah, when we say we want to be in there and recording by April, we meant it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very doable, but right now we're at the mercy of other people working in the house. So.
Yes, we had to, because it's, I don't know if we explained it, but it's in a house that we're also going to be running a craft studio out of. It's another business venture I'm part of, but part of it, we had an extra room, kind of, that we decided to use for the recording studio, so that's what we're going to do, and we had to remodel the bathroom. So,
like, it wasn't just for like looks. It was like secure, like for
safety reasons.
Yeah, safety reasons.
It needed redone. So the bathroom's currently being gutted and a lot of stuff got put into our studio. So,
yeah,
so hopefully that's cleaned up today, I think.
Oh really?
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're moving fast, so it's fine. And like, I'm glad that it got put in there before we got like all the flooring in.
Or even some of the equipment. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, because had we put all of that in there and then all of the sawdust and tools and equipment were put on the fresh new floor and stuff, that would suck more, honestly. Yeah.
It was a bummer because we thought we were going to go and start laying carpet and no. And that was not a euphemism. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. All right. So.
It's a lawless land. Speaking of lawless lands.
Oh.
Today we are in New Mexico. We told you guys that last week. And last time we were in New Mexico, we covered the Donna Anna courthouse, which I kind of remember a little bit. I honestly don't
remember a ton. I don't know what it is about New Mexico, but it was hard to find a place this time too. Kind of. Like, it's funny because everyone's like, there's so many places in New Mexico. Where?
Right.
Tell me. Because you say they're haunted, and then no one is, like, backing this up with investigations.
Yeah, well, and that wasn't a slam against New Mexico. I call it a lawless land because of the history I'm going to cover.
No, I
know. Say that.
I'm slamming New Mexico. No, I'm just kidding. Because you guys are like, I mean, same here. We have a million different, like, this thing is haunted, and this thing is haunted. And it's like, have you ever been? Well, no. Okay.
I'm curious if people outside of the Terre Haute area, or even outside of India, like us, Indiana and New Mexico, we are not neighbors at all by any means. So I want to know if some of our friends over on the West Coast or even the East Coast, if you were to web search haunted places in Indiana, what would you get? Because I wonder if it's a location thing. Like, if I changed my location to Mexico, to New Mexico, would I get different places? Maybe, probably.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll be weird for me to just go to Great Clips, or like, I get my hair cut at a Great Clips nearby. This is going somewhere. And my stylist was talking to me about haunted places, because of course it always is like, what do you guys do, or what do you do? And of course it ends up coming up. And almost always someone's like, oh my gosh, have you heard of, and then they say somewhere. They ended up actually mentioning Ashmore, and I said, actually, that's the first place I've ever been. But they mentioned somewhere I've never heard of, like here in town. I'm about to go back and be like, I know this is weird, but what is the place that you told me about? Because it's not in Terre Haute. It's, I don't even remember the city. It's very annoying, but I'm going to have to look into it.
Just go back to Great Clips.
Yeah, that's going to be like, can you please tell me what you were talking about? Like, pray tell.
Well, heck, my hairdresser, she's probably listening now, because I got her last time when she did this hair for me. I told her about our podcast and now she's all on it. So hi, Kelly. She's listening. But also, if you have any suggestions on my hair, because I don't want to lose the green, it's very nice. all right. So New Mexico. And actually, she's heading out that ways. She's going to Nevada, I think. I don't want to put all your business out here. Yeah. Anyway.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Tell us. Tell me what spooky stuff you find down there. So New Mexico, specifically, we are in, okay, now the name, I heard both ways, with a ch and a s. So I think
I heard the latter.
Cimarron?
Yeah, Cimarron.
Okay. That's what we're going to go with.
That's what I heard.
That's what we're going with. I thought it was Chimarron, but I guess it makes sense. You know, whatever. The point is that Cimarron is a village in New Mexico. It's not even a city. We got an itty bitty baby.
Good small town.
A 2024 population of 782 people.
Woo-hoo.
Now, in 2019, it was 894 and then took a nosedive in 2020.
I mean, we can assume why.
Yeah, which is a bummer. I mean, a nosedive for them. That was just over 100 people, but that is just over 100 people in a town of less than 1,000. That is...
Yeah, that's significant.
Yeah. So the median age of this town is 36.6 years old.
I thought it'd be older. I don't know why.
And I'm super annoyed with myself now as I'm saying this out loud. I told myself to look up the national averages to just have them in writing, and I didn't.
Let me see if I have them for my notes from last time.
It's okay. It's not that deep. But this will surprise you, because the median age in this town being 36.6 years old, it is 41.8 years for males and 34.4 for females.
Interesting.
So the men are a little bit older here. That's backwards from what we normally see. Now, sorry, I'm like, I have this gross cough right now. The average household income in Cimarron is $49,853.
It's a little less.
It's low. It's a little bit low. Now, this I also wanted to point out because, okay, I'm just going to keep doing this. The average earnings, so for individual now, that was the household income is $49,853.
Okay.
The average earnings per individual is about $30,735.
Okay.
With males, so it'll show the breakdown of how much males make. So you're probably thinking males are making like 40,000 where women are making maybe 25.
No, I mean, given the place that we covered last time, or the last time that I had history on a place when it was like 60,000 to 70,000 versus 19, mm-hmm. That's now kind of what I expect.
Yeah, okay, well, with the average earnings being just under 31,000,
mm-hmm.
males are earning 35,000 where women are earning 30,000.
Okay, you know, we'll take it.
Now it gets better. Okay. You know what? Cimarron is
they got something going. They got a good thing.
Now the poverty rate, you have to understand when you're dealing with small numbers like this, is going to be skewed, but the poverty rate is 12.13%,
which is I think still under the national average.
Yeah. And honestly, I said I had to put this in here. I said this is probably the best in the weirdest way to say this, it's the best poverty chart I've seen. Like, mm-hmm. It looks like what you would expect a poverty situation to look like as far as education goes.
Okay.
So the highest level of people in poverty are adults who received less than a 9th grade education.
Okay.
They have the most poverty at 31.43%. Some college has 20.43%, so they never got finished a degree.
Yeah.
A bachelor's or greater is 3.25% are in poverty.
Okay.
And high school. So kids who are 15 to 18 years old, so they really don't have anything to pay for.
No, I'm saying, I think, isn't high school, they finished their high school.
Oh, they have GED, high school. That's,
and they went into trades.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So they are at 1.17%
there
poverty
we go.
Rate.
I wondered where you were going with that, because I'm like, because having a degree myself, I can tell you it's not everything. You know,
no.
It doesn't get you everything. There are people, it is perfectly fine to not go to college right after school, high mm-hmm. school. And a lot of people go into trades. And I feel like this would be like a trade area.
A situation. Yeah.
And usually those people do make more money. I can't imagine that there are jobs in Cimarron that offer like large paying jobs, you know, with degrees.
Okay. Yeah, but that's,
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
that is the what I would expect a poverty chart to look like. If you have less than a ninth grade education, that you were impoverished, most likely. You know, if you didn't even get a GED or something, it's going to be hard to find a job.
Yeah.
A decent paying job. And that sounds bad unless you're like working for an individual or something.
Yeah. If you're not going into a trade, most places, most basic places, intro level jobs require a bachelor's of anything because they just want to know
that you
can get a degree.
Yes. So then you have your bachelor's, and even people who finished high school just in its entirety are the lowest poverty rate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that tracks. That's what it should look like across the board. But it doesn't. Not always.
Yeah. Nobody should be impoverished. But
well, yes. So the average rent in this place, I don't know. It was very confusing when I Googled it. I'm really fighting this cough, you guys.
I'm going to say 800.
Well, okay. So I saw a 2-bedroom home. Not specific. It said somewhere listed 2-bedroom home, 14,000.
What?
But then off to the side, it said like 800-900. And I said,
So maybe you pay in like 6-month interval. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I don't know. And then it went all the way up to like 3- and 4-bedroom homes, whatever. So I said, IDK, like 1,100,000 or 1,100. 1,100 is what I called average. It said anywhere from like 9 to 1,500.
Wow. Okay.
The median home in Cimarron.
Expensive.
Someone's making money out there somewhere, because the median home is $649,000.
Jesus Christ. Where'd you get, who wrote these numbers?
Don't remember. What? Didn't write them. Now, I will say I did go to realtor.com. Sponsor us, y'all. I don't know what you're going to sponsor us, but do something.
Yeah.
They have.
You get 10% off your first home.
Wow. That would be.
That'd be insane.
You'd get like 0.5% off your first home.
Yeah.
All right. So. There is one singular home for sale in Cimarron right now. So actually, everything is sounding really good at the moment. So hop on this house. It's hanging out. It is 2-bed, 1.5 bath, 1,400 square feet.
Sizable.
And it is listed at a cool price of $196,000.
That is not terrible. It depends on how the, lot size. The neighborhood,
it's across from the school.
No, the lot size.
Okay.
If you get like acres or...
So it says it's on 5 lots.
Okay.
But it's only listed as 0.4 acres.
See, but now the house that we're fixing right now is on 4 lots.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
Anyway, the house is actually kind of cute. I mean, it's the only house. So if you guys go to realtor.com right now, look up Cimarron, New Mexico, look at the single house for sale. Look at those pictures. It has this really cute, like, rounded room. It's like with the glass. It's pretty. Lots of wood.
Okay, well, I'm looking, okay?
There's an attached garage and a detached garage. You got 2 garages. They said you could use for, like, a workshop or something. Very cute. Very cute. All right. Well, Kelsey's looking that up. The racial breakdown of this town.
I think I've got 3 for sale. Thank you. None of which are the ones you listed.
Realtor.com. Or are you using Zillow?
I'm using Zillow.
Now, I just gave Realtor. You better look up Realtor.
Beautiful rock fireplace. The cheapest one I have filters. Hold on.
Are you looking up for sale or for rent?
I'm looking at for sale.
Okay. Because Realtor will also show you for rents.
Yeah, it doesn't show me the house you're talking about. The cheapest house is $215,000.
Realtor.com.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to do this later.
Okay, the racial breakdown of this town is kind of what I figured. It's pretty mixed race up in here. So the highest percentage of race is white at 69.85%. Two or more races comes in at 12.13%, other at 11.64%, Black or African American at 4.9%, Native American at 0.98%, Asian at 0.49%, and no Hawaiian or Pacific Islander. And yes, because there are only 782 people in this town, it was able to give me actual numbers. So the Asian percentage of 0.49 is 4 people.
Yay.
Yeah. So that means Native American is about 8 people.
You say it was 196,000?
Yes.
It's contingent. I don't know what that means, but...
Oh, I don't know.
It's something. She's all right. It's a little overgrown. You know what? It's quaint.
Oh, and it's also the same family has lived in the home since it was built.
So that it's only kitchen had one is owner. So now, wait. This kitchen is so, what is the word I'm looking for?
Are you going to say outdated or?
No, like, but in a good way. It's very, what is the word? Holy crap. I hate this. Listen, this is why I don't have conversations with people about things I'm passionate about, because the words don't come out. I know what I mean up here, which I'm pointing to my head. I don't know how to say it all. What is the dang word when something is very,
outdated but chic?
Yes. God.
Kinda, yeah.
Whoever's screaming at your speaker, scream louder, because I can't
reach through time and space.
Yes,
right now.
It is. It's retro.
I think it's retro.
Why do I try to make things so difficult?
I don't know.
But that oven, come on. Oh God. That oven, come on.
It's definitely a historical home. I don't know what year it was built. I didn't see that.
Do you keep like foil and plastic wrap in that thing?
Maybe.
Wow.
That's kind of cute.
Ahead of its time.
Get to the picture of the window, the circular window.
I think I might have already passed it.
You'll see the glass. It's like the beveled glass.
It's fine. The house is cute. I don't see it. So I'm just going to...
Jesus Christ, Kelsey.
I'm panicking. We need to move on.
All right. One other percentage I did want to point
she's
there.
Cute. That's not round, but that's okay. It's rounded. Yes. It is a rounded rectangle. I was looking for a circle.
No, it's just rounded. That's what
I mean. Okay, cutie pie. Go on.
Sorry. That was like right in the microphone. The only other percentage that I thought was interesting, or one other percentage I thought was interesting in this town that I wanted to point out, is that 52.98% of this town is listed as non-family, meaning these are unmarried people.
So everyone's just chilling.
It's just everybody's vibing in Cimarron. Why are we not moving to Cimarron, New
Maybe
Mexico?
Maybe it's a bunch of swingers. You could be a couple and not be married, so I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, so now I got to get in the history because I have a bit. The first bit of information I'm getting directly from Cimarron's website. Visit Cimarron.com, I think is what it's called. An unforgettable getaway is what it says. Now, I'm not going to read this sarcastically because honestly, I'm intrigued. Visit Cimarron, New Mexico and enjoy the rustic and quiet of our village and the comfortable lodgings available. Then feast on a hearty Southwestern style breakfast at a local restaurant. Love it.
At a local restaurant.
After breakfast, step outside and breathe in the fresh mountain air as you stroll past the 14 historical sites of Old Town, including the Old Mill Museum.
Sounds nice.
Spend the rest of the morning touring our unique local shops, where you will be enticed by a variety of art, pottery, authentic Western clothing, local foods, books, antiques, jewelry, and much more.
Okay, I don't know what's wrong.
Everything sounds wonderful. Have lunch. They planned your whole day out. Have lunch outdoors and enjoy a few moments of people watching. Swingers. Then follow the Cimarron River west along Highway 64 to the Cimarron Canyon State Park, where you can enjoy a variety of activities. Fish, hike, take in the picturesque views of the Palisades and Eagle Nest Lake, read a book on the banks of the river, or pause at mile marker 292 beside the Clear Creek Trail, where a murder took place in 1875 precipitated the Colfax County War.
Oh, just reminisce on
pause
that.
Pause at mile marker 292. Spend the evening in quiet wonder, gazing above at the brilliant Milky Way, snuggling close to a loved one. In the summer, throw on a sweater and enjoy a historic campfire? I'm
a sweater.
You lost me. Then hit the hay to be ready for another great day of adventure. They've sold me. I mean,
you know what? It sounds nice. Honestly, just this is dumb, but the one that got me was like, look up at the Milky Way sky. And I'm like, I would love. It's so silly when we go on vacation mm-hmm. and we stay somewhere a little more remote and all the stars that you see. And I'm like, I could do this every day.
Yeah.
Yep. Like when we went on our honeymoon, there was a cabin that we stayed in that, my God, you just like, we got, it was the first place we stayed on our honeymoon, and we got out of the car, it was dark, and I just like stood and stared. I don't know. It was a lot.
I do that out at our parents' camper where yeah. they camp. If you get out there on a nice clear night, man.
Yeah. Also where we stayed in Michigan was also very, it was just really secluded on a lake.
Spaces.
Yeah. Really secluded on a lake. There were leeches in that lake, though. Just oh! let that be. No, I know, because I saw something on a shell, and I was like, what's that? And I picked it up. I've never seen one in real life. It was just a little leech on a shell, and Maddie's sister had just walked out in the water barefoot before that, and I said,
get out.
They're like, she wants to swim out there. I said, somebody needs to tell her, and they're like, don't tell her.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, guess what? If you were like, but I'm taking a 2-day trip to Cimarron, I need something for the next day.
Well,
wake
they got
up
you.
Early.
Oh.
And take a drive. There are many options. Head into the Valley Vidal? I am uncultured. Unit of the Kit Carson National Forest, where you will be rewarded with open country, scenic views, the historic homestead of Ring Place, and abundant wildlife. Tour the Enchanted Circle, driving past quaint mountain villages. Venture out to the open high plains along the historic Santa Fe Trail, stopping at the sites of Capulin Volcano, or Fort Union. Take a morning trip or spend all day. After lunch, enjoy our Western culture and take a wagon ride through town, or try your hand at fishing in a local lake. I'm like,
yes.
They have your whole weekend planned.
Yeah, I would do that.
Add to your bird count at the Maxwell Wildlife Refuge, or take a more serious hike in the Carson National Forest.
I don't know what I'm going to do if and when I reach the age where I start bird watching. Yes, yeah. Like, I've done a lot of things that have aged me, but bird watching isn't, it hasn't happened yet.
At any time of year, there are outdoor activities galore. Top the night off with local entertainment. Mm-hmm. If you visit during one of our local event weekends, you can experience the Maverick Club Rodeos, the Cimarron Cowboy Music and Poetry Gathering, or explore the arts tour, the 4th of July Parade, Run for the Wall, the Shortgrass Music Festival, and much more. See our events page for a complete listing.
All right.
So there's one last little piece that they add here on the Cimarron City website, village website.
Yeah.
This is where the wildest of the Wild West called home. What is largely rangeland is also packed with history that doesn't just exist in books. Businesses and buildings with we can touch it, colorful, rich histories aren't simply still standing, but are inviting visitors to share that Western heritage. I know you gave me that look. I don't know.
I don't know what that was.
From a haunted hotel serving up fine accommodations and cuisine to a 1937 coffee shop, this part of northeastern New Mexico will hold your interest and perhaps steal your heart. Watch the following 25-minute video. No, we're not going to do that. Okay. And then it skips because it tells you about the experiences of the St. James Hotel and Colfax Tavern.
Which, weird. What a segue. That's wow. where we're going. Wow, that's where we're going.
We are at the St. James Hotel.
Wow.
So now I've just got an itty bitty bit of history that I'm going to give you, and then Kelsey's going to tell you about what actually happens in this hotel.
Yeah.
Aren't you excited? Okay, here we go. This is coming from exstjames.com, and that is stjames.com. A treasured landmark on the historic Santa Fe Trail, the St. James Hotel has been a gathering place for more than 140 years.
My God.
You'll find unrivaled peace and serenity at the St. James Hotel in Cimarron, New Mexico. It hasn't always been that quiet. A community full of frontier history, Cimarron and its vintage hotel are indelibly marked by the turbulent days of westward expansion in the northeast New Mexico.
I can picture it perfectly because I played Red Dead Redemption 2. So it's basically anytime we talk about the West and the early 1900s and things like that, mm-hmm. I'm just picturing Red Dead 2 gameplay. And I'm like, this is what it looked like. It's got to be super accurate.
Yeah. All right. The saga of the St. James Hotel began in Washington, D.C., with the arrival of a Frenchman whose life became intertwined with the people and a place that became known as the Village of Cimarron, New Mexico. Situated on the Santa Fe Trail, Cimarron's location attracted a variety of colorful characters in the Old West, from lawmen to outlaws and everyone in between. The fine food and atmosphere at the original St. James Hotel attracted them all. So what are the paranormal experiences, you may be asking yourself? I will just give you a teensy bit before Kelsey jumps in. It was first built in 1872, and many famous people have stayed at the St. James over the years, including, but not limited to, Wyatt Earp, Jesse James, Buffalo Bill Cody, Clay Allison, Black Jack Ketchum, Billy the Kid, and Thomas James Wright. It is said that some of these spirits still haunt these halls today. The St. James Hotel has retained its haunted appearance with the creaking staircase and tilted chandeliers. For some reason, that imagery just really gets me. Did any of you play PT when it came out on Xbox? Because
was it Xbox?
Or maybe PlayStation. I think it's PlayStation. It was PlayStation, excuse me. PT. It literally just stood for playable trailer, and it just you had no idea what it was, and then you played it, and you pooped your pants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of what I pictured as that hallway. Anyway, the rooms remain named for those who stayed here during the late 1800s. Room 18, which is said to be haunted by T.J. Wright himself, will remain intact and unbooked as if he were still rooming there today.
Mm-hmm.
And the St. James Hotel, if you're like, man, this sounds so freaking familiar, it has been featured on several major television shows, including March 3rd of 2022, which we're like just past the anniversary. There was an episode called Peace River. It was a story of Case Shane, a fifth generation New Mexico rancher who was raised by his grandfather, a World War II vet who pours his life's love and wisdom into Casey. I don't know. Oh, into Case. I think I meant to put Casey Shane. Sorry. Oh, it's a movie called Peace River. Excuse me. The movie exemplifies all of what Americans should aspire to. Standing up in defense of freedom, the integrity of a person's word. Those were capitalized for some reason. Some of this great movie was filmed at the St. James Hotel and Express UU Bar Ranch. It was also featured on an episode of My Ghost Story, episode 43 on the Biography Channel. It was featured on Haunted Collector, Burning Spirits, Ghosts of the West on the Sci-Fi Channel,
mm-hmm.
and Ghost Prophecies on the A&E Biography Channel. So it's been on several shows over the years because that went all the way back to 2010.
I feel like it had some other shows too, but...
Yeah, that was just a couple listed. Yeah. But that is going to wrap up my portion of this episode, and now Kelsey is going to give us some experience, and I'm going to try to not cough my lungs up right now.
I feel like what's more important to mention right now, as I said, when we talk about the West, I picture Red Dead 2, right?
Yep.
So I was curious. I had to do some quick searching. I said, where is Red Dead 2 set?
Uh-huh.
It is made up, like, they're made up places. So, like, in the game, there's West Elizabeth, which is like just the West. There's New Austin, which is essentially Texas. There's Lemoyne, which is like Louisiana. So I guess the Red Dead world is like huge, but they're, even though they're fake places, it's still kind of, it's essentially the U.S. And it says the fictionalized United States is ginormous, and the game's world is based on amalgamations of huge parts of the country. It's no secret that Lemoyne is based in Louisiana, for example, and New Austin on parts of the American Southwest, like Western Texas and New Mexico.
Ah, there it is.
Because this is where, that is where it is, and that's New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
So it is, in fact, so I am picturing New Mexico.
I wonder, I don't know where Cimarron is on the map as far, like, where
if it's in the bottom right corner, then I'm, like, on the money.
Well, let's just take a gander, Cimarron.
See, now Megan's coughing, I'm sniffling. We're just, it's a mess. It's been, the temperature fluctuates so much around here and around this time of year and global warming, and I don't want to talk about it, but it's like cold, but it's hot, and then we turn on the heat, and then we turn on the air, and I'm colder right now, so my nose is running.
Okay, so Cimarron is northern New Mexico, kind of close to the Colorado border. Close to Colorado and Texas. It's like up in that northeast corner.
Okay, well, they were in the bottom right, so whatever.
Okay.
Okay, so truth be told about this place, St. James. I was trying to find, we usually like to find investigations that have been done by other people, and we just live vicariously through them because we can't travel over there.
Yes.
I thought that I found a good one because it was like over an hour long. Megan also saw and was like, oh, we're good to go. Here's like an hour and a half long video.
Yep.
It is an hour and a half long of a video podcast of three people on camera just talking to each other about the place. I'm like, that's what I'm trying to do. Like, just let me see you do it.
Right.
Do the hard work for me. And it was really hard. This is one of those places that like everyone says it's haunted and everybody has an experience, but nobody has ever like taken video there.
Yeah, even the town itself, it's on their website. You can go to the St. James Hotel specifically and it says, by the way, we are haunted.
Yeah, I found a video of like haunted places in New Mexico, and I was looking at the comments on the video and they were all like, I can't believe you didn't mention St. James. And so I was like looking forward to it, and then I couldn't find any videos about it. Mm-hmm. But what I did find was, actually, Megan ended up finding it for me because I was really close to being
you could
like,
have just been sneaky and not told how I looked it up.
No, because I was struggling. I was like, bro, I don't know if I can do this. And then you did find something that was like really long, actually.
Yeah, it had a lot of history that I didn't even cover. But because their city's website was so in depth, I was like, well, it's all right. I want to hear more spooky stuff. So,
yeah. So this is coming from legendsofamerica.com or something like that. I don't know.
Pretty sure.
And it says, the St. James Hotel is said to remain host to several restless spirits. Wow. Both the owners and the hotel guests will tell you that many unexplained events haunt it. Several psychics have visited the hotel and specifically identified three spirits and many others who passed through to relive their experiences. The hotel's second floor is the most active, with stories of cold spots and the smell of cigar smoke lingering in the halls. Smoking is not prohibited in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
So, a prior manager said that, quote, you never see them, but you do feel and hear them. I almost said fear.
Oh, you fear them.
That too. Another report from a former owner states that she walked into the dining room and saw a pleasant-looking cowboy standing behind her in the mirror on the front of the bar. The spiritual activity of the hotel has been featured on the popular television shows Unsolved Mysteries and A Current Affair.
Oh, I didn't cover those.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was in this or not. Room 18 at the hotel is kept locked because it houses the ghost of an ill-tempered Thomas J. Wright, like Megan mentioned, who was killed at his door just after winning the rights to the hotel in a poker game.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh gosh.
That was scary.
Yeah, I'm wondering, okay, if they keep it locked and don't let anyone in and they say he's ill-tempered, is he like really just going to push someone out a window? Like, that's scary enough that they have, or is it just a draw? Okay.
Well, it's funny you said that.
You're giving me
a
look.
No, it's okay. No, well, I don't know. I'll get we'll get there because it talks about experiences people have had in the room. Having been shot from behind, Wright continued into his room and slowly bled to death.
Oh, yikes.
Wright's angry, malevolent ghost continues to haunt the room, and he does not like company.
Oh, all right.
One former owner said she was pushed down while in the room, and on another occasion saw a ball of angry orange light floating in the upper corner.
Ah.
Like, how do you see a light, and you're like, ooh, that's angry? You just know, you know?
You get the vibe or whatever. It's not like the biblically accurate angel. Oh, all 5,000
that would be horrifying. Yeah, they saw the angel and they were terrified for good reason.
Right.
Please go watch Midnight Mass. It's so good.
Every time.
The room holds only a bed frame without a mattress, a coat rack, a rocking chair, and a bureau that has been made a shrine to the Old West. Sitting atop the bureau is a Jack Daniel's bottle, a basin and pitcher, a hand of cards, an ace Copenhagen tin, and several shot glasses. On the wall is a bad painting of a half-naked woman. Okay. Is there really a bad half-naked woman, though?
Is there? Well, and that's really mean. What if the artist is like, God dang.
That was after my mother. Wait, don't. I don't know.
No.
That was me. That was a self-portrait.
Or I was painted like one of the French girls.
And yeah. It's like, ugly concubines.
Oh my God. It makes me think of everything makes me think of American Dad. There's an episode where Roger's pushing up against the door, trying to keep people out. They're trying to break into the room. And you can hear him trying to bust it down. They're like, oh man, they must have the fridge in front of it or something. And he goes, ah, this is my wake-up call. They're like, it won't budge. They must have the fridge.
Oh my God. I just know that would be me. That's so depressing.
Roger's holding it by himself and he's waiting for Francine and Stan to help him. And they can't get past Roger. So good.
It's so funny because he's not big. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, he's not real. Why?
He's also a cartoon. Go on.
Anyway, I feel like I was going to say, or no, I'll get there. Anyway.
Okay.
The staff considers this room to be the most haunted, and people are rarely allowed to enter the room, much less sleep in it. Rumors abound that when the room was rented, several mysterious deaths occurred there.
Ah.
Wow.
Goodness.
Room 17 is the epicenter of sightings of Henry's second wife, Mary Elizabeth, who is said to remain at the hotel as a protector. Look at her go.
So part of the history we didn't get is that Harry, like, owned it at some point, I think.
Okay.
If I remember.
Or Henry.
Henry, yes. I believe that was an owner at one point.
Mary, his second wife, gave birth to her children in the hotel and died there herself in December 1926. Allegedly, Mary's rose-scented perfume can often be smelled in her old room.
Oh, I could pick
the scent. We love scents.
Yeah, rose scent, I would be able to tell you immediately because I
hate it.
Mm-hmm. Real roses, fine, but like that artificial rose scent, I can't. I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't. Rose scent, rose flavor, it's rough. And I feel bad because like the coffee shop I work at has a seasonal drink that has rose in it. Uh-huh. It's very subtle. It's not terrible. It's not really not that bad. But God, I just don't like rose water. Well,
I tried using a face cream one time that was like, it had rose hip in it or something like that. Ugh. And my face, it immediately started burning. I said, ooh, that means it's working. And then 5 minutes later, I said, this hurts really bad. And I washed off and my face was beet red for the rest of the day.
Maybe we're allergic and that's why we don't like it.
Maybe.
Doubt it. Anyway, sometimes in an insistent tapping is heard when the window is open and will not stop until the window is closed.
Okay.
On other occasions, a milky, yuck, transparent woman can be seen in the hallways.
Well, couldn't they say foggy or something?
Milky.
Cloudy. Anything else that's white. Not dairy.
Why? A cheesy... Oh. Transparent woman.
A Swiss cheese woman. A Gruyere.
I love Gruyere. Gruyere's like my favorite cheese, honestly. That or Gouda is close.
Oh, I love Gouda.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Another dwarf-like, quote, old man has also been seen at the hotel, nicknamed the Little Imp by hotel staff. Oh. The spirit is very mischievous, constantly playing tricks and laughing at the staff. On one occasion, he was said to have stuck a knife into the floor between two owners of the old inn.
So mischievous.
So silly. God. He just pointed a gun at us. He's so silly. Jeez. Threw a knife in between us.
Well, held us at gunpoint.
I'm so confused. He was said to have stuck a knife into the floor between two owners of the old inn. Where did the knife come from? And it just goes... Like, in between them, they're like, whoa, so silly, silly little imp here.
I don't know.
However, he is often blamed for objects that mysteriously disappear, only to be found later in locations where they don't belong. Typical.
Mm-hmm.
Other unknown entities are also said to roam the hotel, creating a host of paranormal activities. Staff report that items constantly fall off walls and shelves, and electrical equipment at the front desk behaves unpredictably.
Well, yeah.
Ain't that just the way? Yeah. Others have reported cold spots throughout the historic inn, lights that seemingly turn on by themselves, feelings of being watched by unseen eyes, and cameras that cease to work inside the hotel, strangely returning to normal after leaving the St. James.
Can relate.
Why do you have cameras in a hotel room? That's my question. What are y'all doing? You're like, hey, our camera wasn't working. We just have a camera.
We were filming the Milky Way.
The Milky Woman. We were filming the Milky Woman.
That's the name of my next adult film. Do you like how I said my next, not my first?
My next adult one. Film. Oh, yuck.
Look, I worked with a girl named Tiffany one time. And for some reason, when you work at a coffee shop, weird stuff. You talk about weird stuff.
Oh, my
and
God.
Something about a coffee shop, just those employees are
that
different.
It brings out the weirdest.
Yes.
I know so much about my my coworkers. But I mean, they are my friends, too. I was like, coworkers. You panicked.
Anyway, we were making jokes about, like, adult films. And she said, oh, I'm in an adult film, and like very casual. And she's such a straight-laced person as far as I know. And she said, oh, I was in an adult film. And they go, no, you weren't. What's it called? And she goes, Breakfast at Tiffany's. And then just kept working and never laughed. And we said,
ha ha.
Oh, and we never knew she was joking.
I mean, have you tried looking up?
I know she was joking, but like without missing a beat and then just kept working. It's called Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I think you missed Breakfast on Tiffany is what it was called. Oh, see that? I would have believed you then.
Yeah.
Anyway, so no cameras work in there for those of you looking to film the Milky Woman or record like Days of Our Lives on the old TVs.
Oh, yep.
Cody Mutz, a college student who has worked summers at the hotel.
What just happened?
You're thinking of the Milky Woman. Oh, I was just overcome for some reason. There's nothing funny happening. I was just recalling our most just very previous conversation.
Anyway.
Oh my God. So anyway, he was working at the front stop.
What? Is she coming up again?
No. Yeah, I think. Anyway, he worked summers at the hotel. He reported that in 2002.
Excuse me. Okay, now when you said people were filming, you're like, did you see her to throw up? No,
I don't know. Maybe.
When you said people are filming and you're like, what could they be filming? If they're doing paranormal investigations,
yeah,
they're probably filming.
I was obviously joking and I've taken this so far now.
Well, I'm trying to get you I'm trying to get you off this whatever you're on.
Anyway, he was working the front desk. He heard a high-pitched shriek coming from the far corner of the lobby. Okay. That would be horrifying, okay?
Yeah, I would not be happy.
Looking up abruptly from his work, he was dumbfounded to see absolutely no one on that side of the room.
We hate that.
Quickly looking around, his eyes rested on three other quests mingling at the other side of the lobby. What does that... What?
Guests.
They put a Q.
Okay.
No, it's not okay. Me. I was like, what is a quest? Maybe it's like, I don't know. Anyway, quickly looking around, his eyes rested on three other guests mingling at the other side of the lobby. Having not heard the loud scream, they were completely unfazed, which is unfazed a word because my phone did not like that.
It should be. How did you spell it with an F?
No. Unphased.
I think it may be of F.
Unfazed. I don't care. That's how, this is a direct, this is them that's
now,
stupid, not me.
Please believe. If he's the only one that heard it and the other three did not react to the
screen.
Are you
going to talk about exploding head syndrome?
Exploding head syndrome. Look into it, you guys. I'm promising.
I said that. Like, so mine, what is it?
It answers a lot of questions.
Yours is like, busting glass or is it screaming?
Mine's usually screaming.
Okay, Brianna's is like shattered glass, right?
Yeah, or like crashing noises. I'll also hear like literal explosions. I know it's called exploding head syndrome.
But I mean, that's kind of the reason.
I will hear, like, it's bigger than a gunshot, but I hear something. Just like a boom, and it wakes me up.
So, this next section is actually reader's stories of the hotel. Mm-hmm. One of which actually was included in the YouTube video that I was watching, and I was like, this sounds like a creepypasta. Like, it sounds a little too on the nose, but it's a reader's story here, so... We'll see. I skimmed and saw, I started like writing it out and I was like, that looks familiar. And I realized it's the story they were telling. So we'll see. We'll see your thoughts.
Okay.
This is one of the reader's stories. Though I had seen the St. James Hotel featured several times on the popular television show Unsolved Mysteries and was very impressed with the stories, I never thought I would have the opportunity to visit there, let alone spend the night. However, in the late 1980s, I took a new job installing payphones all over the state of New Mexico. What a time to be alive. 1980.
Oh, okay. Yep, that tracks.
When I was given the task of installing several phones in the Cimarron area, I decided to spend the night at the St. James Hotel. That first night, I stayed in the Zane Grey room, which is brought up a lot. I think that's like, they say that's another really haunted room.
Okay.
And as I was getting ready to take a shower, I noticed a small mirror hanging on the wall that was rocking back and forth.
Mm.
And then they put click, 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 like over and over. Like it's just rocking. Oh.
Okay.
Though I tried to ignore it, the clicking sound persisted until I finally walked over to the mirror and felt the wall to see if it was vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
It was not.
Okay.
Then I looked into the mirror to see if I might see the reflection of something other than myself. No, nothing but me.
Okay,
cool. Then I touched the mirror on the lower corner, holding it to the wall before slowly taking my finger off. So to like
steady it.
Yeah. Okay. The rocking stopped. Before going to the shower, I looked at the mirror and said out loud with a smile on my face, "What's the matter? Are you tired of playing?" And then the mirror went click, click, and stopped.
Oh, okay.
I was like, these things happen, but I was like, how convenient that they were like, are you done playing yet? And the thing goes click, click, almost like a head shake. No.
Yeah. It doesn't sound too
outlandish.
Like, yeah, it's not that out there, I guess. I was expecting something like Russian sleep experiment.
It's so creepy.
Yeah.
Over the next few months, I had several more opportunities to stay at the St. James. In fact, I would plan my trip so that the Cimarron area would be my last stop and always stayed in the Zane Grey room. However, nothing more happened until what turned out to be my last stay there.
Mm.
And this is actually his ghost writing this. No, just kidding.
Oh, God.
just down the hall from my room is another circular room with a poker table. I always thought it would be great fun to play poker there, but never had the chance. On that night, I had gone to bed early, having to be in Colorado the next morning and needing to get an early start in order to get back to my home in Rio Ranchero, New Mexico, the next night.
Okay.
However, I was having trouble getting to sleep, and I tossed and turned. I began to hear the sounds of people talking down the hall. It was odd, as I was the only guest in the hotel that night, and as I listened to the voices, it sounded as if they were calling poker games such as Joker's Wild or Jack's or Better to Open.
Okay.
Curious, I got up, pulled on my pants, opened the door, and looked down the hall. There in the corridor was a lady in a bright red, ruffled 19th century period dress.
I can already picture it, like red, like black.
Like milky, and yeah.
No!
The image that I saw was mostly red, but...
Okay, but yeah, you know I'm talking like the ruffled chest. And
oh, yeah.
The square cut, yep.
Looking a little annoyed, she was holding a round serving tray. I went back into my room thinking this might be my chance to play a little cards in the circular room I had always wondered about. I put on a shirt, went back out, and walked down the hallway to the poker room. When I poked my head in, three men, all in period dress, were playing poker. One of them asked me if I wanted to get in, to which I responded, "What are the stakes?" "It's a $20 ante," he replied. Unfortunately, all I had with me was a $20 bill and a company credit card. Having to decline, I went back to my room and went to sleep. For those of you who do not play poker, the ante is the price to get into the game.
Oh,
and
so
he would have needed more in order to bet.
Yeah.
When I got up about 5:30 a.m., I got my stuff together. As I walked down the hall, I looked in the poker room, and it was spotless. No empty bottles, no cigarette butts, not even a dirty glass. I then went downstairs to the front desk to check out and ask the desk clerk, "Were there any big winners last night?" "Oh, what do you mean?" she replied. "Those guys playing poker upstairs last night," I said. Shaking her head, she said, "Mr. Jenkins, I've been here all night, and you were the only one upstairs."
Yep.
Yeah, ain't that just the way?
And as a matter of fact, that's not the first time We've heard a story like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I said that like I'm surprised. Where was it again?
It wasn't us. It was our own sibling.
Oh, yeah. No, it is very reminiscent of that.
Yeah. Which he still has yet to make an appearance on this podcast, right?
Yeah.
What the heck, Brian? Yeah,
we'll get a hold of
him. We have a brother, you guys.
Yeah, we don't talk about him much. We don't like to talk about him much. I'm just kidding. No, I don't know. He's also got a lot of stories.
He was with us on our very first trip to Ashmore.
Mm-hmm. He's the reason we got to go.
Yeah, we need to get him on here. Brian, anyway, if you're listening.
Yeah. I just stood there speechless, feeling as though I had just been hit over the head. I then simply walked away, left the hotel, and have never had the opportunity to return. I was absolutely sure that those people that I had seen the night before had been a part of some kind of show or had been to a square dance or something because of their dress. They seemed so much like flesh and blood people, but the desk clerk had said I was there all alone and no one is allowed upstairs at night unless they are guests at the hotel. I don't know what I experienced, but I wish I had stayed a while longer and talked to them more. Like so many other experiences that we have on a daily basis, I berated myself later for not having asked the men their names.
Yeah.
What would have happened if I asked them to leave? Would they have simply disappeared? Of course, I wouldn't have asked them to leave. I truly thought they were real when I saw them.
Right.
As I write this, the hair on my arms is standing up. It's a funny thing. I remember so much of the encounter as if it happened just yesterday. On the other hand, there are so many details that have totally escaped me. I compare my experience to a chance meeting of someone that you respect and look up to and not recognize them, only to find out later who they were. There are so many things I wish I would have said and done, if only I had.
Oh, well, yeah.
And is this still... I don't do drugs and I don't drink. Nothing quite like this has happened to me before, except when I was 7. But that's another story.
Oh, well.
Smile is what they put, like the little, like this must have been written a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that was submitted by Tom Jenkins, October 2005. No longer installing payphones. Tom now pursues his love of wood carving full time. I have looked into wood carving because it looks so cool, and it is such an expensive thing to get into.
Or wood burning.
Wood burning would be much cheaper, but wood carving, to have all the necessary tools to make like anything intricate, is expensive. Like, you're talking like thousands of dollars upstart.
Yikes.
Or startup, whatever. And it's just frustrating. Anyway, an award-winning sculptor, his custom art has been featured in newspapers, wood carving catalogs, and magazines across the nation. Today, Tom lives in Casa Grande, Arizona, and you can check out his art at a website that they've linked.
Oh, wow. Good job, Tom.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason, there was something you said. Oh, when you made the joke, you're like, this is his ghost writing this. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
I had this thought in my head. I'm like, what if it really was, like, he stayed there, was a guest, and then he never checked out, and they went to go check on him, be like, dude, and he wasn't there, but his notebook was on the bed.
We used to write stories like this all the time.
Uh-huh.
We need to write things. There's just a little bit more, and this is stories from ghost hunters, specifically.
Okay.
As ghost hunters, I don't know, I think maybe, it just says ghost hunters at St. James. And then it just jumps right in saying, as ghost hunters, we were excited to stay in the second most haunted room of the St. James Hotel. As told on the Unsolved Mysteries TV series, the most haunted room has been sealed for the protection of hotel employees and guests. The ghostly inhabitant still makes a claim to owning the hotel as he won it in an Old West poker game on the very same night he was murdered in room 18. This hotel is full of Old West history, having guests such as Jesse James and Doc Holliday. We walked about the hotel using our EMF meters and found some strange readings. We also gathered some strange sounds from room 18, the sealed room, by the way, which we're still analyzing. As I was falling asleep, I felt a tender touch on my back and then noticed that my wife was not lying near enough to have touched me.
Oh.
Yuck. When I inquired if she had just touched me, she had not. Immediately after, she was startled by invisible fingers gliding over her hand.
Oh, yuck.
Finally, we slept until 3 a.m. when we were awakened, doesn't seem right, by a strange scream coming from inside our room, the Mary Lambert room.
No.
I began taking photographs, one of which contained a vortex. Vortexes are funnels of energy that are associated with ghostly activity. The strangest phenomenon was a picture I had taken of the second story window. There is a face in the window, not a reflection, not someone looking in. It's on the second story.
Oh, well, yeah.
A ghostly face staring back as I was walking past the forbidden room 18. Even if you're not a ghost hunter, the history, the wonderful staff, and the great food make St. James a wonderful vacation spot. And that was submitted by Rick Smithson in May of 2005, and Rick is a certified ghost hunter and member of the International Ghost Hunter Society.
Why aren't we members?
I don't know. We need to look into that.
Yeah.
Help us out. My gosh. So those are stories that I've got. Stories that I found. Mm-hmm. That Megan found. About the hotel. They're pretty interesting. What I wanted to do when I was having trouble finding information, and it's so silly, is I was going to start telling you, like, these crazy things that happened. I'm spoiling it because I didn't end up doing it. But I was going to tell you, like, some of the... I guess activity that was caught and how crazy it sounds. Because the vibe that it gives me, I was going to tell you the plot of 1408 with John Cusack.
Jesus.
And then, because it's, doesn't it give you the same, but like in the movie, John Cusack is actually a paranormal writer. He writes books about haunted locations.
Uh-huh.
I forgot that part for some reason. We started watching. I was like, how do I not recall? Because it starts with him doing a book reading of a haunted place he's investigated.
I have not seen 1408 in what? So long.
Oh, I thought you were going to say at all.
No.
Yeah, he's essentially a ghost hunter and writer who doesn't believe in ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know where this is going. Yeah. A hotel contacts him. Surprise, it's the hotel that got a hold. It's like... He gets a letter and the hotel's like, we didn't ask for you, but okay. And they specifically said, stay in room 1408. So he asks and they're like, you can't do that. Like, it's sealed. No one is allowed in. Whenever we go in to like turn the bed and like do these things once a month. And we always go in pairs, someone to hold the door open and someone to go in and change everything.
Okay.
Yeah, they keep it locked. No one's allowed to stay in there. For fear, because also a lot of mysterious murders happened in that room. Like, he's like, I have a file of all the people that have mysteriously died, most by suicide, in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so, of course, he gets his way, stays in room 1408, because what would the movie be without that?
Yeah.
And then, surprise, ghostly activity happens.
I need to rewatch it.
Honestly, it was pretty good. I meant to ask Maddie what she thought, but I didn't dislike it. It gets a little, I don't want to say slow. John Cusack's character is kind of annoying, but I think that's the point, because he's a man who writes about haunted locations that he's investigated that he doesn't, and he doesn't believe in ghosts. So I suppose that's just his character.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought I was going to be funny and start to tell you, like it was an investigation, all the stuff that happened in the movie, and be like, and that's the movie 1408.
Oh, God.
With John Cusack. But yeah, because it gave me the same vibes, because in the movie they do keep it locked. No one's allowed to stay in there for their safety.
Right.
I wonder if it's like loosely based. Yeah. But I think this hotel in the movie is in California or something like that, because aren't they all? Or New York. I think it's New York. So the whole other side. New York. New Mexico.
Both new.
New year, new me. I don't know.
Well, can't stop coughing.
Oh, no.
Yay, that's this, wraps up this episode. New Mexico. All right.
Woohoo.
Oh, but you know what I didn't do was pick another city or a city, another
state.
We
just forget this every time. I say we. You.
I don't. Oh. I get it sometimes. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up a list of cities.
Oh, for Pete's sake, states.
I'm going to states. I don't know why I'm stuck on cities. And I'm going to take my little thingy and I'm just going to go me, 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 me. And you are going to tell me when to stop. Oh, I guess I need to pull up. It's on my work computer. I always do this.
Oh, my gosh. We're doing the, you're seeing how dysfunctional this is live.
States. Alphabetical images. That'll probably be the Ooh, this one will be good.
Okay.
As long as we haven't covered it yet, which I know.
Okay. All right. I got to feel it in my bones. Okay. It's just, even you don't want it to go too long. Stop. Like that.
Oh
yes,
next week we haven't covered this yet, right? Next week we're going to be in Hawaii.
No, we have not. Wow.
It was between Georgia and Idaho. And I mean, I'm telling you that that was, there was no question I was on Hawaii.
Woohoo. So, listen.
Very exciting.
Watch us like somehow forget we've already done Hawaii again. And we're like, ah, shoot. I'm pretty certain we have not, though.
Yeah, because last time we were in Hawaii, we did the theater. It was like the IOTA theater.
Oh, yeah. So that, how do you remember these things?
Dude, I don't know. I'm just useless information. Anyway, yeah. So next week, check it out in Hawaii. If you guys know any, heard of any haunted stuff there, that'd mm-hmm. be cool. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah. And if you haven't checked out already, I'm going to say it again. I posted it on our social medias. We have new merch and it's funny and ooh, we love it. And yeah. we want you to check it out.
Please.
Redbubble.com/people/orsotheysaypod. Let people know that you are unfortunately straight.
Unless you're not like me. I need to have a counter to that.
I know. We got to come up with something
pleasantly,
for those.
Pleasantly queer.
I am thankfully.
Yeah. Thankfully and delightfully queer. So
surprised and delighted.
That's, no. I was like, how do you make surprised and delighted to I be queer?
We'll
to be gay.
We'll come up with something. Anytime we come up with some funnies, though, doesn't have
we it's silly because I'm like, we think we're funny. We say it and we're like, that is gold. That
we're
is a gem.
So funny. And then it doesn't take off. But yeah, there's some other good stuff on there. You can check it out. Get shirts and hats and bags and
whatever your heart desires. Whatever. Pretty much.
The sky is the limit, you guys. Yeah, we've got, of course, our OG artwork is on there. You can just rep Or So They Say. That's hanging out there, too. And if you want to check out our Patreon episodes, patreon.com/orsotheysaypod. All of our bonus episodes are there where you can also get that artwork at Redbubble.
Yeah.
So crazy. Wow.
Good stuff.
All right. That's going to be it. We'll see you next week in Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm going to go so I can keep rotting away playing this stupid mm-hmm. game on my phone.
And the weather's picking up, so it's going to be very tropical next week. Can't wait.
Mm. Hopefully, I heard it was going down.
Oh, don't say that.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
See you then.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Mixing, editing, and music is done by Kelsey Ingram. Our cover art is done by both of us.
Visit our website at orsotheysaypod.com. You can find links to our Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok all at orsotheysaypod.
If you would like to donate and have access to all of our evidence from our investigations, please visit patreon.com/orsotheysaypod.
You can donate as little as $1 to hear EVPs, watch haunting videos, and see photographic evidence we've gathered during our travels.
You can also give a once-off donation to our PayPal, which will be linked on our website as well. Merchandise can be found at redbubble.com/people/orsotheysaypod.
You can find Or So They Say on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you stream your favorite podcasts.
And when you do find us, please make sure to rate, review, follow, or subscribe. We and the algorithms will thank you for it.
See you next week.